Dr. Jack Rozelle shares with us today on this Saturday, July 6th, 1974 afternoon from Glacier Bible Camp and the Youth Vespers this tremendous message that we trust will be of help and benefit to you. Here is Dr. Jack Rozelle.
Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Now, Father, we only have a few moments together tonight. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come and speak to our hearts individually. We sense that you have a message for us, and we want to get that message and have it impressed and implanted, engraved upon our lives. Thank you for these young people that have come tonight and shown in their coming a desire for more of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands before you're seated. Okay? Thank you, buddy. See, I guess this is a tape recorder, huh? Can you hear me in the back if I speak this loudly? Okay, I'll try not to yell because that's not too comfortable for you, but if you get so you can't hear me, why, raise your hand or something, okay? And I'll try to speak more loudly. Last night, we talked about the question, who am I? And I suggested that that was a very important question for each of us to answer. Because if we don't find the right answer, we'll be in difficulty. And we talked about the parable of the prodigal son or the pouting elder brother, and how we could find out who we really are and know that we're of worth and value. Hold our heads up as children of God, as sons and daughters of God. Monday night, when we're together, we want to talk about another question. And that is, how do you handle temptation? What do you do when the old man, my old Jack, starts to get out of the coffin? When Satan comes along and says, hey man, why don't you do this? And you have a desire to do it, what do you do? We'll talk about that Monday night. Tonight, I want to discuss with you a question. How do I know the will of God in my life? How do I find the will of God in my life? How can I be assured beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is God's plan for me? As I suggested last evening, these three questions are the most often asked questions that I have from young people when they come for counseling. And I work with college young people and have for the last 7 years. And they're always asking, it seems, one of these three questions in one way or another. Now in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, in the Living Bible, we read these words. If you want favor with both God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord. Don't ever trust yourself, and everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Now, young people, I believe, have a lot of misconceptions about the will of God. I did. I used to look at finding the will of God like hide and seek. And we express that when we say, I want to find the will of God. And the picture that we have of God is that He has his will for our lives all wrapped up in a package, and he's taking it out of the woods, and then he sits back and he folds his arms and he says, "Now just try and find my will." And that's just exactly the way that I was trying to approach his will. I said, "I've got to find his will," like it was hide and seek. And it seemed like I was always on the losing end. I never could be satisfied. Another misconception is that I had, and I find some young people have it today, is that they believe that God's will be revealed to them in an extraordinary way. They're going to have a dream, they're going to have a lightning bolt from heaven, they're going to have something extraordinary that's going to show them God's will for their lives. And I can remember asking God for extraordinary things. So I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was his will for my life. Something else I did, and I think young people do it today, is that I wanted a panoramic view. I wanted a full-blown vision of my life. I expected God to show me the beginning and the end, all in one final sweep. But you know, he never did that. And I thought if he was going to show me his will, that's just what he'd do. And another misconception that some have is that the will of God, if it's going to be the will of God, it has to be strange to our mind, our reason, and it has to be something very difficult. I remember arguing with God about the ministry because I wanted to be a minister in my heart. But because I wanted to be a minister, I said, that can't be God's will, because if you're going to do God's will, you've got to be a martyr. And you can't be a martyr and do what you want to do. And I deceived myself and argued with myself. I said, "God, I can't be something that I want to be and be in your will." Now, what I'd like to do for a few moments is take the life of Jonah and to illustrate some principles that I believe God has given us in his word so that we can know his will for our lives. I believe there's a formula for finding God's will that will always work. I believe that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, young people, exactly what God expects of us at a given point in time in our lives. Jonah 1:1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying..." Now, first of all, let me say that I believe the story of Jonah is a true story. There are those that would tell you that the story of Jonah is just, kind of like a fairy tale. It didn't really happen. But I believe that this is a story of a man who heard the word of God. God told him his will, and he ran from God. And actually was swallowed by a fish, repented, got back in God's will, and found blessing. There's a number of illustrations we could give, but in 1931, there was a man who was on a whaling expedition. This is reported in the book, Science Returns to God. He was on a whaling expedition. He fell in the water, and I'm reading here from that book, because the book had smashed into a whale. The next thing he knew, he was sliding down a dark passage, realizing that the whale... He was inside the whale, and his terror mounted, so he became unconscious. 2 days later, they caught the whale, they cut it up, and they found the man inside. They gave him medical attention, and he lived to tell the story. Another incident reported in Cornet Magazine, 1938. There's a man by the name of James Bartley who was lost at sea when a whale overturned the boat he was in. They captured the whale a day and a half later in the whale's stomach. They found the man, and he was out of his mind. It says he raved and ranted for 3 weeks, and finally came back to his senses when he realized that he had been saved. Another incident is recorded in 20th Century Christian magazine of a man who spent 2 days and 2 nights in the great fish, and that fish is exhibited in the London Museum, and it's exhibited under the title of Jonah of the 20th century. Well, that's just to illustrate that I believe this story really happened. The Word of God is telling us a factual account of a man who had encountered God. Now, let's look at Jonah for a minute. The first thing that happened to Jonah was that the Word of the Lord came unto him. The Word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And right here, we have one of the secrets, the characteristics of God's will. 99% of God's will for your life is right here. Jonah didn't have the Word of God like we do. But if you want to know God's will for your life, then get into the Word, get into the Bible. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And you know who he spoke those words to? In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. There's something else that was true about Jonah's experience. It was the word of the Lord. God spoke to Jonah. The word that came to Jonah was from heaven. It was from God. It was divine. It was holy. Now listen, there'll be those that'll try to tell you, this is God's will for your life, or this is God's will for your life. I believe that God himself will tell you his will for your life. I've even had young people come to me and say that someone had laid hands on them and said, this is God's will for your life. I believe God may do that to confirm what he's already spoken. But I believe the Word of God speaks to us in a very direct way, that his Word came unto Jonah and his Word will come unto you. That God has a specific, unique plan for your life. And it'll be spelled out, step by step, just like it was for Jonah. Notice that this was a personal word. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. It wasn't something that was way out there. It was for Jonah. God said, "Jonah, I want you down in Nineveh. Jonah, I have something for you to do." And I believe that God has a personal will for your lives tonight. He has a very unique and individual will for each one of us. Not only was God's will personal, but it was specific. God said to Jonah, "I want you to go down to Nineveh, and I want you to preach." You know, Nineveh was a unique city. It was very wicked, and the Word of God says that. 500,000 people lived there. And it says that the archaeologists tell us that to go around the city was a 50-mile journey, and that you could go around on the city walls 3 chariots abreast. It would take approximately 3 days to go around the city by travel in those days. And they were wicked people. They would capture their enemies, and they would stretch them out and pull their tongues. They would flay them, skin them alive, and hang the skins of their victims up on the city walls. And God said to Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go down and preach my word there." Now, it was a specific word and will for Jonah. Now, notice in these characteristics that I've given you, every one of them goes against the false ideas that I suggested earlier. It is false that the will of God is strange to our intellects and hard to find. When we tune our minds into God's mind, it makes sense when we see from his perspective. It is false that the will of God always has to be revealed in an extraordinary way. Sometimes he speaks in a very common way, through circumstances. It is false that the will of God is always fully and instantaneously given to us. Sometimes it's just a step at a step. God didn't tell Jonah everything that would happen. He just said, "Go down and preach." It is false that you can know the will of God and not do it and be happy. And that brings us to the next step in Jonah's life. And we find that Jonah did something. He ran from God. He ran from God. He said what so many say, And I said it for a while in my life. He said, but God. God said, go down to Nineveh and preach. And he said, but God. I don't want to go down to Nineveh and preach. The Bible tells us that Moses did this. God spoke to him and Moses said, but God, who am I that I should go? And God spoke again and Moses said, but God, they won't listen to me. And God spoke again. And Moses said, but God, I'm not eloquent. I don't have great speech ability. Gideon had this problem. Gideon said, when God spoke to him, Gideon said, but God, my family is poor. Jeremiah said, but God, I am too young. Jesus spoke about three men. One of them said, but God, I have a yoke of oxen. Another one said, but God, I have a wife. Another one said, but God, I have a farm. You see, and this is what Jonah did. He said, but God. Now, what happens in a life when we say, but God? Well, several things happen. When Jonah said, but God, he went down to Tarshish. And here is a story of a young man that went to pot. And that's just what Tarshish means. Tarshish means refining pot. When you say to God's will, but God, I don't want to do it, then you're saying indirectly to God, God, I need to be refined. And Jonah found himself in a pot. A refining pot. Someone said, you can flee God's presence, but you cannot flee his judgment. When Jonah said, but God, he behaved irresponsibly. Here was a city of 500,000 people, and Jonah didn't care. He was indifferent. And just remember that when you say, but God, you're really being indifferent to some people that need to know about God's love through your life. When Jonah said, but God, he became very frustrated. And he frustrated others. We read in the book of Jonah that he finally came to the place and he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. The sea will become calm. He says, because this storm is upon you because of me. And if you find in your relationships that you're causing frustration in lives and you're frustrated, maybe it's because you're out of the will of God. You see, Jonah wasn't happy on board ship, even though he was going the way he wanted to go, because he was out of the will of God. He wasn't happy in the world, and he wasn't happy out of the world, because he was not with God's will. When you say, but God, you're going to bring frustration on yourself and others. When Jonah said, but God, he did something else. He determined his own fate. I colored his tongue red there. That's the whale's belly. My artist said, how can I possibly draw a whale's belly? Well, I think she did a pretty good job. Here's the mouth. And Jonah is kind of upset. He actually had seaweed wrapped around his head. He calls the place hell. And that's just exactly what it is to be out of God's will. It's a hell on earth. And when you say, but God, then you're signing your own fate. God will not force you to do his will, but he loves you too much to let you not do his will and be happy. So think twice if you're saying, but God. Now I want to give you the formula. The formula that Jonah used. Formula that we can use. We read in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, that Jonah came to himself and it says he prayed unto God out of the fish's belly. Jonah began to call on God. And the key word is relationship. When Jonah ran from God, it says back in chapter 1 that he ran from the presence of the Lord. When you go out of God's will, you're running from His presence. And the only way to get back in is through prayer, through confession, through renewing your relationship. The scripture that I read to begin with was, trust in the Lord completely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what Jonah began to do. He was down in the belly of the fish, and he began to pray. And it's too bad that sometimes we never learn to pray until we get down in the depths of hell, so to speak, hell on earth. So the first key to the formula is relationship. The second key is counsel. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And Jonah received the word of the Lord. Now God will counsel each of us. He counsels us through His word. He counsels us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He counsels us through others. Pastors, friends, parents. The word of the Lord came the second time unto Jonah, and he received it. And the second key to finding and knowing and being assured of God's will in your life is to receive His counsel, however it comes. Through the Word, through the Holy Spirit's ministry, through godly men and women. In fact, I would encourage you as young people to seek out godly men and women. People who have walked the path before you. You can save yourself a lot of heartache if you'll be willing to listen to the counsel of godly people. The third thing that Jonah did was to act upon that which he knew to be right. Action. It says he received the word, and Jonah, it says, got up after the fish had vomited him out. He got up and went down to Nineveh and began to preach. What a transformation from hell, out of God's will, to a revival where he saw a whole city turn to God. He acted on what he knew to be right for him. Action. And we can all ask ourselves tonight, am I doing what I know God wants me to do? Sometimes young people come and they say, how can I find God's will for my life? And you begin to talk to them, and we ask, are you spending time with Him in prayer? Well, no. Are you reading and studying and getting into the Word of God? Well, no. Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Well, not really. Listen, those are three things that we know are His will for our lives. And we can't expect Him to show us the next step until we take those steps. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So we act upon that which we know to be right. The result for us will be the same as it was for Jonah. He had victory. Now, in summary, before we close our time tonight, rejection was reaction for Jonah. Rejection was neglect to what God had for him. Rejection was indifference to the people around him and what God wanted to do in his life. Rejection was frustration. He frustrated himself. He frustrated the men on board ship. He frustrated his city because they couldn't experience God's will either. Rejection is destruction. For Jonah, God's grace came the second time. That isn't always true in a life. The other response, or the appropriate action that we can take is to respond. We go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord completely. That's the relationship. Lean not to thine own understanding. That's seeking counsel. The counsel of God's Word, the counsel of God's Holy Spirit speaking to us, the counsel of godly men and women. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's action. That's doing what we know He wants us to do. And then it says, He shall direct thy paths. That's victory. And you see, the first letters there equal the formula that I told you I was going to give you. RCA. We're not selling phonographs or TVs. But this is a formula that will tell you and help you to know God's will for your life. RCA. Relationship, counsel, and action. And it leads to victory. He shall direct thy paths. I'd like for us just to bow our heads as we close our time together tonight. Very quietly, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, anything of that kind. Quietly before the Lord, I know that some of you are seeking to know in your own heart God's direction. I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. How about your relationship with God right now? How about it? How about your prayer life? How about your study of God's Word? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? If you have to answer with a question and hesitancy, then why not before God just make this vow? God, I determined, renew my relationship with you before this night is over. Ask yourself this question also. Are you receiving the counsel that God has given you in your life? Are you rebelling against parents, pastor, authority figures, like we talked about last night? Like the prodigal. Are you going to go out and do your own thing, or are you open to receiving counsel that God will give you through His Word and through godly men and women? If you have to answer hesitantly or no, then how about determining opening both in your heart in that way? And then the third question is this. Are you acting? Are you doing the things that you know God wants you to do right now? Is there something in your life that God has spoken to you about a number of times and you said, yes, Lord, and then you forget about it? How about coming back to that point again and saying, God, by your grace, I'm going to begin to act on that which I know you want me to do. Now that's the formula, relationship, counsel, and action. And I believe if you'll do this in your life, He will direct your steps. You'll know His will in your life. Now, Father, as we conclude this Vesper hour, we ask that your Holy Spirit would brood upon the lives of these young men and young women. We thank you for being here. We thank you that your grace and your Spirit pursues us. We pray that not one of these young people will have the experience of Jonah and end up in the refining fire.